WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, bitch. I'm coming for you. Who let Gus over? I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the night of WWE SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer where things happened that were new and yet they felt very, very familiar. And we will get all into that a little bit later. Right now, this is the Omega, the be-all end all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
It's not summer, so fuck you all.
So it's Winter Slam?
We've explained this to you. It's summer in the U.S., so it is summer.
That's not summer down here.
That's summer.
Can we go play Borderlands instead?
I wish. Also joining us tonight from the rack, we have Lindsay.
I got fire, and it was amazing.
Fire!
Wish every girl was so easy to please.
I'm smiling right now. You can't see, but it has the biggest smile on her face right now.
You can tell just by the way she speaks. She has this grin that's...
I know!
She's jumping. She's like joyful. It's amazing.
I'm giddy.
She's very giddy.
And of course... at the head of this little table, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I don't know about you guys, but I did not hate Summer / Australian Winter Slam.
It was a fun show. I enjoyed it from everything I was able to see. Very fun show.
Yeah, and we're going to... What's that? Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I thought it was worth the money.
Every single penny that I put out on this pay-per-view, I got back in spades. And that's all I'm going to say.
Worth every cent I spent.
I was not overwhelmed. I was not underwhelmed. I was whelmed.
Whelmed actually is not that bad a thing. If you were whelmed, it's all right. If you're overwhelmed, you may have gone overboard. If you're underwhelmed, you're jaded. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Oh,
but of course,
so many comments I could make right there. Biting my tongue.
You're going to be bleeding profusely by the end of the night, Mace, if this keeps up.
Play jump.
There you go. Yeah, once again, we are broadcasting live on Wild Talk Radio, www.wildtalkradionetwork.com. If you're catching us from one of our affiliate sites and
hold on, tuned in. Hold on.
What?
www.wildtalkradionetwork.com. What's that, Tim?
www.wildtalkradio.com, the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go.
You've only had the website for like 10 years. You'd think.
Yeah, but I've only been playing Candy Crush for 3 weeks now. Get off my back.
It's been about 6. He's just, you know. Anyway, continue.
As I was saying.
It really is crack. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't need crack, man. I've got my Coke and I'm good. That's all that matters. I'm addict.
I'm telling you, Candy Crush Anonymous for you both.
CCA. Let's get the chant going. Yes, I will finally admit it. I'm hooked on playing Candy Crush on my smartphone.
Congratulations, Tim.
Well, I haven't resorted to connecting to Facebook to beg for lives, Rock.
I don't beg for lives at all, so.
Not yet.
Never have, never will.
Yeah, I have other cheats, don't I?
Yes, you have plenty of cheats, but there was nothing cheating. That was cheat about this show, though.
No, I don't think the show cheated. It had some surprises, which was rather surprising. And that sounds like a bit of an oxymoron or whatever. But it wasn't. And we'll explain what we're talking about in just a little bit. What I was saying, if you tuned in for the very first time, we are broadcasting at www.wildtalkradio.com. If you're listening from one of our affiliate sites, we have a live chat room if you want to get into it and interact with us. That'll be great. We want to get your reaction to what you saw, if you saw SummerSlam. Those of you listening for the very first time, I hope that you don't hate the show too much and it don't suck too bad. Such a Nova Scotia Canadian thing to say. Holy cow. Why don't we just start at the very top with the pre-show? And we can talk about Lindsay, Dean Ambrose, and Omega, RVD.
Squeak number one.
You see, Lindsay has a squeak crush on Dean Ambrose. And you know, some people might...
No. It's not a squeak crush. It is a full-blown crush. I want to have that man's children. So if anybody's in L.A., bring him to me.
Full-blown squeal. Squee. Squeal, squee? Squee, squeal?
Squee. It's...
And...
Stalker!
I'm not stalking him!
Yeah,
he made it in and out of Salt Lake without me capturing him!
That's because you probably
I'm
had to work
and
you could find somebody to cover your shift.
No, that was probably because he was on the other side of the arena.
Yeah.
She couldn't get around the other side of the arena in time, that's why.
Actually, they fought right in front. Anyway, he made it out of the arena in one piece. I am personally very proud of that fact.
There you go. So, yeah, no juicy comments coming out of me over this one directed at Lindsay tonight. I'll be nice. Yeah, of course, RVD is Omega's man crush.
Man crush is a strong term.
Okay. Bromance? It would be quite one-sided, of course.
He's trying to figure it out.
He's trying to put it into words.
Concepts aren't flowing in my head.
It's just like, what? Hey, you know, Darren Young came out of the closet this week. Omega, you know, it's RVD we're talking about. Nobody will look at you funny.
Really, Tim? Really?
Yeah, I went there. I went there. How many people like, oh, Darren Young's gay? Yeah, so what? Life goes on. In other news, the sky's blue during the daytime, unless it's cloudy.
And you're cheap, so moving on.
The only thing I want to know about Darren Young being gay is, does he have gay eggs and bacon? God damn it.
Oh, God.
We have our own jokes. Can we please not rehash the old ones?
There you go. Hey, there's a user popping in the chat room we have not seen in a couple of years, guys. Fast Eddie. How you doing, Fast Eddie? Glad that you could find the place and finally make it back. Why don't we... Yeah, let's just like carry on and continue. We had Chance in the crowd going back and forth, RVD, Dean Ambrose, RVD. It was almost like, you know, tastes great, less filling. Which one was which, Lindsay?
Well, I would say they were both pretty filling for either side.
Nicely worded.
Very well done. You know, that was like diplomatic at its finest.
I do what I can, you know?
Everybody's just giving her props right now, so that's just great.
Well, when she admits having a crush, you know, the word filling is one you have to use very carefully.
So is tastes great.
I don't know how he tastes. I can't comment on that. When I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Alrighty then. Thoughts and opinions on the pre-pay-per-view warm-up match. Mace.
Why wasn't this on the main card?
Thank you.
I know Omega and I had a nice little chat about this the other day, about how they want something to entice people to buy the pay-per-view, yet you're giving away a money match for free.
Well, isn't that an enticement to
It is an enticement, but at the same time, do you know how many people would have just happily put down the money to watch this match?
Let's see. I know a guy named Mace, Lindsay, Omega, Scott,
there would
Drew.
Be quite a, basically anybody who watches Raw on a constant basis,
yeah,
or even SmackDown, would have been happy to put down the money for this match.
Yes, this is, in case you haven't picked up where he was going, people, this was a very, very, very good match.
There's a reason why Rob Van Dam is called Mr. Pay-Per-View, not Mr. Pre-Show.
Yeah, except for tonight. So, yeah. Other than the fact that it was the pre-show and not the pay-per-view, any detractions?
I believe I made my point when I said I would have happily put money down for this.
Well, yeah, you did. I was just checking.
Yeah.
Just double-checking. Yeah. So let's hear from the other two. Lindsay?
This was a fantastic match. It was a great way to open the pay-per-view. It was a really nice tease, having Shield come down, having Henry and Show come down. We had no idea if it was going to actually continue on to the main card or not. There was kind of because there were rumors that this match was going to potentially be upgraded to a six-man and then go on the main card, but obviously that didn't happen, probably due to time constraints or what have you. I don't even know, but great opener, fantastic match. I'm actually a little happy it went on the pre-show, just because it got the time it deserved. They weren't necessarily rushed. They had plenty of time to get everything in. I thought they did a wonderful job with it, so very pleased.
There you go, Omega.
I'm happy with the match. I would have happily paid for it. So, yeah, getting it for free, kind of a win-win, even if they deserve to be on the actual card.
There you go, yeah. So, extremely well done. Love how they're setting up, you know, future matchups when they get the rest of the Shield involved and then pull out Mark Henry and Big Show. Because you know something big's about to blow up in the near future with all six of these guys.
We got a
taste they could just repeat the match they had on SmackDown.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got a good, nice taste of it on Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, Shield has really failed to disappoint since their arrival in WWE. And with RVD, you pretty much know what you're going to get. And generally, that's a good thing. Wouldn't you say? So I'm looking forward to see what happens between these guys coming up in the near future, possibly as early as tomorrow night and then Friday on SmackDown.
A nice long extended program between RVD and Dean Ambrose can only help Dean Ambrose's stock in WWE.
This is true. Absolutely. Now, of course,
it depends on how many stiff kicks he takes.
The Shield actually did cause the finish by disqualification. RVD wins, of course. He doesn't get the title. Aw.
Aw, shucks. Called it.
Yeah, but at the same time, RVD looked extremely impressive, and quite a few times it looked like he almost kicked Dean's head into the sixth row.
Yep.
So, that's a win-win.
It was an RVD match.
Yeah. I think actually it was a great way of keeping keeping both guys from losing any momentum or drive or anything like that. So.
And also, Omega and I kind of had this conversation where it's almost no offense to the U.S. title or Dean, but the U.S. title's kind of beneath RVD. And it doesn't seem like they would bring him back just to put the U.S. title on him.
No, I got to agree with that.
So, as a quick little way of getting a match between Dean and RVD, okay, if you've got a title, I can't really argue with it. As long as it gets it done, I don't care. I need to see more of those matches.
There you go.
It's just not something that he'd be wasting his time with. The guy's a former WWE champion, and he's been the biggest deal since he came back. Why would you make him step down to the mid-card level?
Well, if we get promos like we did from Dean Ambrose on Raw, where he makes the title actually mean something, it might change your opinion on that.
Yeah, the only thing that RVD sort of adds to the whole U.S. title picture is the fact that he's a big name who doesn't mind taking that step down to at least challenge for it. You know, he doesn't need to hold it, but at the same time, him challenging for it brings back some credibility to the title, which is severely lacking. So it's sort of a win-win situation. You know, you don't have to put the title on Van Damme, but at the same time, it helps the credibility that he's at least trying for it.
Sure as hell doesn't hurt it. That's for damn sure. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, moving on to the first match of the pay-per-view, and go. Of course, it's the Kane versus Bray Wyatt. Ring of Fire match, Lindsay.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Well, I had to do this.
Lindsay brought up the Ring of Fire match, so...
It's the reason she bought the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the reasons I bought the pay-per-view. Actually bought it.
Well, all I can tell you is it's a good thing it's not the only reason.
I will say I was a little let down by this, just because I had certain expectations walking into it, and I think the crowd did as well when they said Ring of Fire. I think at least for a lot of the older fans, their minds automatically went to an Inferno match, which it basically was. The only difference is you don't have to set your opponent on fire to win the match.
You don't have to.
You could have.
You don't have to, and you could have wanted it.
Well,
I think that's what everybody was expecting, was for somebody to get lit on fire, because it makes no sense otherwise to do that kind of match if nobody's going to get lit up. But I thought the match was good. The only thing is Kane and Wyatt, somebody needs to work a little bit faster pace, because those two work extremely slow at times.
Yeah, they are very slow-paced individuals, especially Kane. I did like how the Wyatts really did any way they could to try to get into the ring. They were very creative.
Yeah, with the two on the outside messing with the fire, that was hilarious. With Harper and Rowan trying to figure out how to get, like, the kendo stick to Bray, and he couldn't do it because, you know, it kept getting lit on fire, and then, you know, they're just trying to, you know, get near it, and they, you know, they get backed up every time, and it's like, you know, it's, they can't figure out how to do it. It's basically a 6-year-old screwing with flames, you know, they can't quite figure it out until they get the blanket, and then they throw it on the blanket, and then it's like, oh, hey, look, we can get in the ring now, and beat up Kane.
There you go.
I think, ultimately, the crowd didn't know how to take the finish, just because, again, I believe that they were expecting somebody to get lit on fire. No. I will say, though, that the way that what they did after the match, where you had the Wyatts pretty much execute Kane, was very well done.
But if you go back to other Inferno matches, crowds usually don't know how to react to them.
Yeah, they don't, but at the same time, I don't think the crowds really knew how to react to this one. It was just kind of like, huh? So, because I honestly don't know what they were expecting other than somebody to get lit on fire, and maybe they were expecting Kane to win, I don't know, but the finish afterwards where they, you know, basically mimic cutting Kane's head off with the steel steps right in front of Bray Wyatt, and then they light the real lantern, not the LED lantern, the real lantern, and they walk away dragging Kane with them, was very well done.
So is Kane going to be a member of the Wyatt family now?
I don't know, but I kind of want to find out.
That's the important
thing. I sort of doubt it, because doesn't Kane head off now to film See No Evil 2?
But when he comes back.
Yeah.
Well, when he comes back, but that's 6 months down the line.
But still, it's Tim never gave a deadline for when he could be a Wyatt. Well,
yeah, there was never a deadline given.
keep in mind, if he leaves for 2 months to do filming, and then, you know, all of a sudden the Wyatts introduce a new member, you know, completely new outfit, you know, back, you know, no mask on anything, and you just have like another animal mask on, you know, and it's this brainwashed Kane, but you don't find that out right away.
Yeah, because the debate, or at least the debate Rock and I had about See No Evil 2, is Kane going to have to shave his head again for the part, or are they going to just put him in a bald cap?
Hmm. Interesting debate.
He wears a baseball cap the whole movie.
Oh, there you go.
No. Paint his hair bright green, and then just use it as a green screen.
There you go. Get him a green wig. That'll be fine.
But yeah, great. I enjoyed it. I was a little disappointed, but overall, I enjoyed it. So I'm done talking now, so y'all go ahead.
Okay, there you go. Omega, your thought and opinion on this one.
Yeah, honestly, I was really not a fan of this match. I think putting, from everything I've heard, Bray's a good worker, but you know, this was my first exposure to him, and what I got was he was very slow, and he was way in over his head with the crowd the size of SummerSlam with essentially an Inferno match for his first debut in the WWE main roster since the Husky Harris days.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extremely high profile and, let's be fair, dangerous as hell match for someone who's supposed to be making their first impression. And they worked extremely safe in that match. It's not just the fact they were slow. They were cautious as hell. And I just felt the in-ring performance just really, really suffered between the speed of the two and just how much they were trying to avoid doing anything that might prematurely ignite somebody.
Mm-hmm. What did you think, Mace?
I'm pretty much right there with Omega.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you get two guys who work a methodical pace in the ring together. It slows the match down to the point where people just sort of sitting there going, yeah, okay, can we just get it over with? I like the way that the other two, I keep forgetting their fucking names.
Rowan and Harper.
Sheep and not sheep.
Yeah, sheep and not sheep. How they use the fire blanket and use that to cover the flames, get in the ring. You know, it was creative to see somebody actually trying to get into the ring for the first time instead of like, how the hell do I get out of this? And then going, oh, wait, I'm out. How am I going to light myself on fire? Kane. I remember. I sort of think the methodical pace, I think Wyatt needed to step it up a bit. Like you need to be the faster out of the two just to get a bit of something going. But then again, working in a ring like that, from what's been said, is extremely hard, especially for a guy like Kane, who's currently in a mask, having, you know, his air reduced inside the ring, because that's hot as hell from what I've been hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame them working a slow pace, but at the same time, I wish somebody had just sped something up. Or at least done something, like, as Lindsay said, we were expecting, you know, pretty much roasted Wyatt by the end of this.
Either roasted Wyatt or a Kane lit on fire, like, on his head.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody was going to end up being a spit roast by the end of it. But we never got it. You know, and it really dragged what could have been a really good match down. Maybe they should have started this some other way rather than going straight to the fire. But otherwise, it was okay for an opener.
Okay, yeah. Opener, but yeah, they stepped it up though with the afterwards though.
Oh, afterwards, yes, most definitely. But yeah, it's sort of, I find it amusing that it's like It's really well done, the way they did the whole execution thing, but I'm looking at it going, yeah, that's safe as fuck.
Yeah.
There's that much gap in the stairs. Okay. And the angle that they shot it from really didn't help.
Well, the angle he shot it from was, like, completely from the side, so you couldn't see anything that happened, which is the whole point. I mean, it's a great visual. I mean, it, you know, the way they rigged it really was like a guillotine, like an execution. So, you know, I know thematically, just visually, it is this really creepy spot, and I actually did like how they did it. But yeah, there's no way you can get hurt off of it.
WWE production will have a lot of fun with that spot. It will look great.
Yeah, and in case anybody...
Like they did a great job. Okay, they did a good job to hide it. But in all honesty, what one looked more vicious in the end? Kane or Ricardo?
Ricardo.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another story for another time.
Yeah, in case anybody doesn't think that Omega has the right to talk about editing and such, I suggest they check out the hours and tons of video footage that he puts together every single day. And twice on Sundays.
Available now at tjomega.org.
You're welcome, TJ.
I have video in my editor right now.
Oh, there you go. They're secure for that. So, yeah, you know, I feel bad because the match was a letdown to me, but I expected it to be a letdown. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys or not, but because it was Bray's debut as Bray Wyatt, and they were, you know, safe as hell, I didn't expect anything outlandish or outrageous. If they had held off with this kind of a match, if they could have, for a couple of more months, they could have made it maybe possibly something a little more spectacular.
That's a good phrasing. If they could have, it seems like they couldn't, though.
Yeah. Well, just for, you know, various and sundry reasons, they had to get the thing put together, mainly for, you know, to get Kane the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Really. But, the only thing I really, really hate is that they had this match as the first official pay-per-view match.
Well, it built up from there.
Yeah.
It built up from that, but you know how WWE paces their pay-per-views. You start off really exciting, and then you kind of bring him back down, and then there's a big title match, and bring him back up again. The fact is, the only reason they did it first was because it took that long to set the ring up in the first place.
Right.
Well, that's true.
And attempt to set the referee on fire.
Well,
yeah, he wasn't too impressed without being about not being told.
He learned quickly, don't be anywhere near the ropes talking to people while they're setting up fire.
Well, not a good idea. He looked some kind of pissed off, didn't he?
No, he wasn't pissed off. It was more surprised, and then you see the look on his face of, please tell me next time you try to light me on fire.
Thank God my pants are black.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, if he peed himself, guaranteed they dried out real quick. But, yeah, so there's the opening match of the pay-per-view. On next to one that I was looking forward to. And it didn't disappoint. Of course, we're talking about Damian Sandow taking on Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes with the naked lip.
He shaved the stash.
The porn/pedo stash is now gone, Mace.
Thank God.
And he find out why like only on the JBL and Cole show.
Friday on WWE.com.
Jeez.
There you go. Good match. Enjoyed it thoroughly. It had absolutely everything I expected it to have. It entertained me. It didn't make me yawn, and it didn't make me jump the hell out of my seat. I wasn't expecting to do either. It was very satisfying what these two put together.
Indeed it was. It was definitely a good match between the two, but then again, they've gone up against each other in various forms over the last few weeks, and you could tell these guys were going to mesh well.
Yeah.
And we got exactly on pay-per-view what we were expecting. Small side note from Access, the interaction between Sandow and Flair, fucking awesome.
That was tremendous. Sandow calling Flair a peacock was tremendous.
No, it was, woo, silence, woo, silence, woo, silence.
And we should all be lucky that Damian Sandow is with us. He was a survivor of a shark attack when going into the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And that they've already dedicated a week called Shark Week to him.
Oh, brother.
These are things he said, so
Yes, the world according to Sandow. Yeah. Is it just me, or does anybody else expect to hear the words, "I'll kill you," after he says silence?
No.
I did.
He's not an Arabic stereotype.
I did a few times, but then you got to realize you've got to class it up.
You know?
Because it's Sandow. Everything else has got to be classy. So it would be, I would extrapolate your demise.
or something to that effect.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, well, they've got something in common, you know, the dead terrorist in Sandow. It's that beard.
Really?
Way to really try to make your joke work, Tim.
I wasn't trying to make a goddamn thing work. I just said it.
You're just stretching.
Anyway. I just said it.
Anyway.
Jesus. So, yeah.
Send all mail to Tim Stein at WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, it won't go
Here's
anywhere.
Something that Ahmed and Tim Stein have in common. They both blow their own shit up.
I didn't blow up my car.
Your car just blew up because of you.
It blew up on its own. I was just driving it. That's all. Seriously. Yeah. Anyway, Omega, Lindsay, never mind. Just talk about the match.
We could stay all night on your car fiasco, Tim.
No, because the one I'm driving is fine, and I don't need you people to jinx it.
7 months.
Shut up! Oh!
Omega, do you want to go first, or?
Actually, it makes it less than $100 a month. Not a bad deal.
You know what? Far better match than I expected. Like, they're both talented guys, they're both really good in the ring, but for some reason I just wasn't expecting the match we got. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe the announcers had a point. Maybe shaving the mustache actually did something good for Cody.
Broke his jinx, did it? Alright, Lindsay, anything to add?
I thought this was really well done. They mix very well together. I want more of these. Sadly, I don't think I'll get more. But thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yep, yeah, it's definitely definitely not a negative on the card, that's for sure. Of course, Cody Rhodes wins. Next match.
Hold on, Tim, hold on. We have live interactive feedback. People are sending messages on Facebook.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. Ethan Bagley says, "Tim, I've seen the way you drive the hell out of that Toyota."
All right. Ignore Ethan Bagley because he's a toothpick who can't put two words together to make a sentence that's coherent with proper grammar.
I don't know. That was pretty coherent.
Well, no. Now Rock knows what I'm talking about because he saw something that I had to fix up before I showed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see the original?
I would really love to see the original.
I will show you the original.
Wait. Hold on. You fix something before showing it to Rock. Isn't it usually Rock that's fixing your shit?
I was fixing Rock for his Tim shit.
Well, he corrects my typos. So all I did was I fixed up the grammar just a bit and sent it to him.
Typos, grammar, website,
you know, shit like that. But you know, so there you go. But yeah, no, Rock, I'll send the original to you so you can read it.
Anyway, by the way, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network or Twitter at wildtalkradio.
There we go. And where were we when you interrupted me?
Going to the next match, I think, unless we have Lindsay's opinion on the match.
She gave us her opinion.
All right.
You're getting forgetful in your old age, old man?
Yes, Tim, yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So it's a lot of fun to pick on you when you fuck up, because you do it so freely with everybody else. And you claim to be the god of the internet.
Of internet radio, get it right.
Whatever.
I said Omega was the god of the internet.
That was my point, and it was proven. Fuck you, King Kittens. Who had bingo? Anyway, next matchup in world title, this early in the show. Really? Christian taking on Alberto Del Rio. And Mace, I don't know if I want to ask you about this match when it contains something or someone that you really detest. You're not a big Del Rio fan, are you? You're not a big Del Rio fan.
I'm not a gigantic one, but he can wrestle. He's a good wrestler, but I don't think the character's any good anymore. You know, they keep trying to get him over as a big, arrogant heel, and it's just not. It just never works.
Well, you and I are in a similar camp, because I say that Alberto Del Rio, as he is now, hasn't got quote-unquote it, whatever it might be. He does nothing for me, but like you said, objectively speaking, he works quite well in the ring.
That's because his it is that guy who used to do his ring entrance that he kicked in the head. By the way, props to Lillian Garcia for stepping up to try the Spanish version tonight.
Yeah, there you go. That's when my pay-per-view kind of screwed up a bit. Oh.
Wait a minute. We've got an announcer who's bilingual. Why haven't we used this before?
Where? I don't know. Where?
Oh. Lillian.
Oy vey.
Hashtag Joe. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Omega, you piped up. Let's hear what you have to say about it.
Excellent match. I mean, it worked well in the ring. I got a laugh out of the announcers when JBL was shouting, "Can Christian actually beat Del Rio when the title's on the line?" I'm screaming, "He already did!" So he won it the first time. And then 3 minutes later, "Yeah, but he beat Del Rio, he beat Del Rio to earn that title the first time."
JBL wasn't there, remember that.
I don't care!
You would think that he would be given notes. I mean, oh, by the way, he beat him when he had the title to win the title, just so you know.
In the notes, it probably says Edge, so.
Yeah, somebody with a typo, right?
Mm-hmm. Just hear someone, you could hear the guy in the microphone going, "JBL, that is so fucking wrong. Correct the shit, do not sound like an idiot now."
Yeah, there you go. It's Vince on the mic. You're on the in the headset just screaming his ass on him. "You dumb fucking Texan!"
They sent him the correction via the WWE app.
He might not get the latest update. Yeah.
That was cute.
Oh, God, how good was it not to hear the app plugged every 3 seconds?
Oh, my God. I was amazed we didn't have to find out about the mustache through the WWE app.
You know, you have to wait for the JBL and Coach all
seemed like exactly the thing they'd use it for.
There you go. Lindsay, what's your input?
I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't the show stealer I think everyone was hoping for, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not gonna say it was a crap match, because I don't think it was. Then again, of course, I'm a little bit of a fan of Christian, and I like seeing his work in the ring. However, something was brought up and touched on briefly. Is Christian on the verge of retirement, and would this be the beginning of his denouement?
Subtitles, motherfucker?
Swan song.
Thank you. As much as I hate to say it, you're in an English-speaking country, so motherfucker, speak English.
There you go.
Actually, Canada's bilingual, isn't it?
Yes, so we have two official
languages. Yes, but the thing is, I know vehemently that Tim despises the French-speaking part of Canada.
No. The French-speaking people are great people. I hate their fucking language, and I hate the laws that say I have to have French on my soup can. But I don't hate French people. Don't. Yeah, le
well,
soup.
Well, that's stock standard for Canada. The French Canadians hate the English speaking Canadians, and the English speaking Canadians hate the French Canadians.
No, that's not true. That's not completely true. It's
completely.
It's all. It's a fuck of a lot more political than that, Lindsay. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, would this be the beginning of Christian Swan Song? Potentially, possibly, because he always wanted that one that one more match.
That video package they showed beforehand kind of sort of made you think, is this the end?
Something that made you go,
It was definitely one of those things where you're sitting there going, wow, WWE really making this out to be his retirement run.
Yeah.
And considering how long he was out with injuries, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, because if you look at him, he didn't really come back in that great a shape. He's lost quite a bit of weight. And so, yeah, I kind of have to agree. It wouldn't surprise me if this is his retirement run.
Well, you saw it and you think about it. How old is Christian nowadays? He's up in his late 30s.
Edge is what, 38, 39? So Christian's got to be around there.
37, 38. Yeah, like they were, high school buddies growing up in Toronto. So
he was born in 73.
39 years old is one Christian.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, he's getting up there to the point where if he's not going to be used to put over younger talent, then he's, in my opinion, I'm thinking, he's getting ready to wind down his career.
One last run for old Captain Charisma.
Well, yeah, but I think they should give him the title for a bit first.
Well, here's the other kind of question with
please.
Christian.
Lindsay. Tim, you do realize this is WWE, right? If they give a fan favorite a title, as we've seen tonight, they don't keep it for long.
I know.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Spoiler alert! Continue, Lindsay. Go ahead.
No. Well, could you say that also for Christian, never mind the injuries and the age, is there really even a place for him in the company anymore? I mean, he was gone for so long that they've kind of moved on without him. It's like when he came back, it's like, oh, yay, it's Christian, and there's nothing for him to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they've had a lot of other superstars in that situation where they have actually found shit for them to do.
But are they going to be willing to do that for Christian?
Well, that's the question. Was he ever a big enough deal on his own to merit that type of treatment like some of those, other superstars?
A hard part is that Christian has always had a lot of charisma with the audience. He's always had a really good level of ability in the ring. But it's hard because he seems to have all the tools, but it still seems like something's missing from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's like he was always as good as Edge was, but he lacked the whatever that X factor was that Edge had, and so he was always in the shadow.
Yeah, and since then, it feels like Christian.
I hate to say it. Go ahead.
It's like when an actor is miscast. You know he's a really good actor. You know he's doing his best with what he's being given. And it's still a good performance. But it just doesn't suit what he's best at.
No. Well, I hate to say it, but I have to admit that I think Christian was at his best as a sidekick.
He is a fantastic tag team wrestler.
You talk about acting and actors. He's a better character actor than the main star.
Yeah, Robin can have his own comic book for a while, but he's still going to be with Batman most of the time.
Whether he's Nightwing or not, I suppose. So
we should let the people know that Alberto Del Rio did retain the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, let's talk about a little bit of controversy, in my opinion. Why was there no three count when Christian actually in that unbreakable armbar had Del Rio's shoulders both pinned to the mat?
It could have been a fucking ten count.
Yes, thank you, Omega.
God damn.
Bad reffing.
Selective it's called reffing. Selective reffing, yeah.
haven't we seen this a lot in the last couple of months with referees and submission holds that they're not counting the pinfalls properly?
Well, you know,
I know, the last referee I saw with a submission hold didn't even call the tap. I will be fair, Natty broke the hold way before AJ tapped out, so he probably made the best call he could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, they should have, I think, the ref should have at least, you know, counted two, which would have given Del Rio, as an experienced worker and a professional in the ring, the auditory cue to get one of his goddamn shoulders up.
Yeah, you'd think that, but no. Again, WWE reffing is exactly that crush hot right now.
Yeah, no. Things can be screwed up when they want to be screwed up, and nobody seems to call them on that. So, I don't know.
Well, with everything else going on, I think that's sort of a minor issue.
But that's also because if you call out a referee on something, he goes and turns into a complete bitch on Twitter.
Who did that?
The referee that screwed up the AJ Natty match the other week.
He went out on Facebook and Twitter and went on a rant against older referees who comment about it and stuff like that.
Oh, I think it was John Cone who screwed it up, wasn't it?
Mm-mm.
No? Mm. I'm going to have to go find this now.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little bit too close with what I got going on to stuff like that. But, you know, my refs are told, look, if it's looking like a pinfall, you count the goddamn thing. And the wrestlers are told, look, he's going to start doing his counts. If you guys are lazy and sloppy, it's going to happen, and that's all there is to it.
Right. Give them the warning first, and then you start the count.
Yep. So
it's one of those things where WWE is trained that the finish is the finish, and nothing will interfere with a finish, even if it makes sense, even if it's a natural thing.
Yeah, that's just... No, that's wrong.
That's just thinking logically, Omega.
Shame on you for
How
doing
dare
so.
I?
Exactly!
But yeah, this match had a lot of near falls and had some controversial ones as well.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to ask, does anybody know what Ricardo's official status is? Because I was actually kind of half expecting him to come out and at least try to interfere against Del Rio. So do we know if he's if he got suspended again or if he's gone or...
He's still... There's no word that he was fired at all. I think he's just shelved while they rework him.
Yeah, he's still with the company as he was doing access stuff all weekend.
Okay. Well.
Oh, yeah, no, he, LeMans, he was suspended last month for 30 days. He came back, and then he got shit canning by Alberto Del Rio because he cost Alberto Del Rio a win or something like that.
While back, they were talking about using him in the ring more, and I was I'm really kind of hoping we get an actual match between the two now.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I still want El Local, goddammit.
We got him once.
Got him once, and it was awesome.
Saturday Morning Slam returns this fall, so we'll see more of him.
Yeah, so yeah, you might get your wish. But let's, before we take our first break of the night, let's take a look at the Divas match. And I'll tell you, it was Natalya taking on Brie Bella. I was really not happy with this match.
Why? This was actually a pretty good match.
That's why I was not happy with it. The Los Angeles crowd were a collective bunch of assholes doing a very good women's match.
Yeah, well,
that's what they're trained to do.
It seems like the common The common thing to do
is... You expect people in L.A. to act.
The common thing to do is to chant Cole Lawler and JBL, at least lately.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, you know, kudos to the women tonight because they actually did a damn good job, and they even brought the crowd back and made them, like, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me and Mace were talking as the show was going on, and Mace, Natty's head and neck and shoulder through this match. Whew.
Ooh.
Yeah, she was taking some very high bumps, you know, basically taking a lot of shoulder stuff on the upper shoulders around the neck area. Quite a few times, like especially when she took a bump into the bottom turnbuckle.
Oh, that was
there was a lot of rough. Fucking around. And I'll be honest, I'll put a lot of that on Brie.
Yeah.
You know, one of the main things in wrestling is always make sure you have enough room for your bumps. Which means you always bring yourself back to the center, and you're always working in a square pattern in the middle of the ring. Yeah, I know, breaking the fourth wall. Who gives a shit? But
K-fab.
Yeah. When you don't do these things properly, you end up with a situation like what happened to Natty. I wouldn't be surprised if she's done something to her neck or shoulder from this.
And I think it started with the ring apron slide.
Yes.
Yeah, something looked like it went a little bit far with that move.
I think they pulled the apron a little bit too far away.
Yeah. Like there's one thing for mistakes happening, but when you get later in the match and you can see something's not going to have enough room, don't do it.
Yeah, and this is just another reason why I can't stand that all of these, you know, models get hired to be wrestlers.
No, it's not people like Natty. It's not even that, Tim.
Who can work though?
It's not even that, Tim. It's the fact that Brie still went for the move when she should have had enough mind to not do it. But the way that they are programmed, and yes, I'll use the saying it as programming, not training, to wrestle is you hit a spot A, B, C, D, E, F, and you just run through it like a computer program. They don't have enough mind to think through the WWE developmental system, through the training system.
Yeah,
like Natty, she knows how to wrestle. If she was control of that, she would have just turned around and said, fuck this, we're not doing it, come back to the center of the ring, we'll try something else.
Yeah, but I've seen Natty do that, you know, on the indie circuit here in Calgary before she made it big time. She will, you know, she has... reset, like you said.
Yeah, and that's just one thing that sort of gets to me about their training. And it makes me worried, especially for a mate of mine, Matt Silver, who's currently going through the developmental system over there, that the guy can wrestle. He can do things. He can reset something that needs to be reset. He knows how to wrestle, but they're going to train all that out of him and turn him into a friggin' robot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest things I have with, at least issues wrestling-wise, by watching WWE, is it's very programmed.
Yeah, well, it's cookie cutter is what it is.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to do it the specific way, and there are very, very, very few exceptions to that rule in the WWE. You know, 7 times out of 10, it keeps everybody safe, and it keeps everybody from getting injured. 7 times out of 10, it really makes some of the guys boring.
Indeed, but you know, all that drama aside, let's just take that big heaping thing and throw it in the bin where it belongs.
There you go.
Very good match.
Yes.
Like I know it was one of these things that was potentially just going to be a Total Divas promotional match, pretty much, because you had everybody who's in Total Divas is there in the ring except for
JoJo.
What's JoJo? For some reason, I was going to call her Lala. I don't know. Brain. I have not been good with names for the past 48 hours. no JoJo around ringside. I'm surprised.
Well, she got the same at the beginning, so.
Yeah. But they told a very good match. And, you know, tut tut to the crowd for, you know, shitting on it the way they did.
Yeah.
But. You know, in one respect, you know, how dare they shit on a match that was actually really good, But on the other hand, I can understand why, because they saw it as I originally saw it, which was this is a total Divas promotional match.
Well, yeah, points on both sides. However, being a total Divas promotional match, it did turn out to be a lot better than I think most viewers could have expected.
On paper, I was expecting a shit fest.
Brie has improved.
Yeah.
You could tell she's improved from where she was.
Yeah, and of course, Natty picks up the win by submission, which makes me ask, are the Bellas from Los Angeles?
San Diego.
You notice this time she held that sharpshooter until the ref pulled her off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. Made it very clear that she was indeed tapping out.
There you go. So, Omega, Lindsay, time to hear from the two of you about this.
It was a Divas match with a crowd full of assholes. I don't know. I'm still amused. I'm amused by it when how the popular thing became to, like, well, if we don't care about the match, let's cheer for the announcers. You know, and when all they do is come out for the occasional match, have a bad promo backstage, and promote Total Divas, one's going to give a shit about your Divas no matter how good the match is. Just because there's absolutely no emotional investment in the characters whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know what would have helped? An interruption by Fandango.
Oh, God.
Because we didn't have enough of those tonight.
Oh, come on. Miz burned him in the end. It was so awesome.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree. As far as the match goes, it was a good match. It was well done. It was better than I was expecting it to be. Mm-hmm. It's my only issue with it, aside from, you know, the botches, which we've already mentioned, the costumes the Bellas had on. Like, I get what they were going for. They were going for the retro look, and it's really cute on Nikki because Nikki has curves. On Brie, those high-waisted shorts make her look like she's wearing a button-up diaper.
Well, girl, not everybody. Not every girl wants to buy their curse. You know what are you gonna do?
Never, it never fails. It's WWE pay-per-view night, and we have our fashion consultant.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I'm just standing there looking at her. It's like, okay, it looks good on Nikki. Nikki's got some hips. She's got an ass on her. It looks fine. Brie, it's like, good God, girl, go eat a sandwich.
Eat a hot dog. There you go.
Well, you got to remember who's Brie living with as opposed to Nikki.
Oh, I know, but still, it's
some people are like, "What the fuck is he talking about, Mace?
Where'd you learn that pinfall?"
Kayfabe, motherfucker, kayfabe.
I ain't saying a word.
It's like you can see why Brie has improved drastically in the ring, because she's been dating Daniel Bryan for the past 3 years. You see why Nikki has curves is because John's feeding her really, really well.
Here, have these oysters. After that, eat the shrimp. I got a filet mignon with your name on it.
No, it's not even that. It's, hey, Nikki, my doctor wants to see you. I'll pay for everything. Just like the car, the house, yeah, everything else.
Well, they both used the same excuse. Do you want to work on your development?
Oh, God.
Well played. Well played.
Well done.
I'm having a horrible case of deja vu right now, and on that note, I think that we should take our first time out of the evening.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody, listen to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We've been at it for just over an hour. We're going to be at it for just over another hour on the other side. Right now, we're going to give you time to stretch your legs, grab a Coca-Cola and some potato chips, because we know that you don't drink beer or any other kind of alcoholic beverages, nor do you imbibe any kind of, illegal weed products. So go and get better and come back. We'll be here in a couple of minutes. I don't know. Just, like, bugger off and take a break.
Go get development, people.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Fox. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
Then you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Apparently we're missing our ring announcer. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Is he still inhaling smoke into his lungs?
I think that our ring announcer is inhaling smoke into his lungs at the moment. So the music we came back to...
was...
Hey, look, our ring announcer's back.
Ring announcer?
Yes.
Well, yeah, last night it was.
From now on, you're just our ring announcer.
Oh, you! No, just having fun. Anyway, yeah, we'll worry about my ring announcing at some other point in time. Shouldn't we talk about the next match? Because seeing as you played some kind of music?
I did. I played a mixture of, you know, it's the best versus the beast.
Yeah. And there was a lot of back and forth with a lot of people all week about this on forums, boards, message boards, you know, comment boards. And I think our consensus was this was going to be our guilty pleasure match. It was one of those things that we're kind of sort of looking forward to and didn't really want to, like, come right out and say it. Well, I'm going to say it. I'm glad I was looking forward to this match.
Okay, before we continue... Ethan Bagley chimes in, hey, Tim did a fine job. I can say that because I saw the guy from Shaw try it.
Thanks, Ethan.
Anyway, back to the match.
Just so you know, Ethan happens to be the guy that rings the bell at Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
Gotcha.
And he does a good job of it, boy. I'll tell you. Wow. He hasn't screwed up the ding-ding yet.
He's the best bell ringer in town.
Yeah, but he's not the only one. He can be replaced if he's not careful.
Anyway, the match.
Anyway, back to the match. Thanks for that. Yeah, Brock versus Punk. I'll tell you, this one, right from the get-go, it was hot. It was a good match, Mace.
Good match. Fucking understatement. This was match of the motherfucking night.
I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you on that one.
This was a fight. This was a wrestling match. This was part Looney Tunes, according to Omega.
Part MMA.
We'll get to MMA fight.
Yeah, we'll get to the Looney Tunes in it when we get to Omega, because I want to hear this.
This was storytelling 101. This was excellent work by both men. And... We were going to get something good. We were going to get something solid. We were going to get something special. But fuck me. They upped the ante quite well, both of them. I'm sitting there going, yeah, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Ow.
I need to correct you, Mace. Not just both men, all three men.
True. All three men, you know, the Happy Heyman, the Jovial Jew, did his part.
Great name, by the way. Thank you,
Charles. Oh, yeah. I laughed my ass off when I heard JR do that the other day.
Disclaimer, no anti-Semitism here at all.
No. Believe me, if you have issue with that, with me saying that, please tweet JR's barbecue. He was the one who said it first.
We're just quoting the greatest announcer ever, that's all.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, it was like, you wouldn't think it, but at times I'm like, are they shooting? or has Brock just turned around to Punk and gone, kick me in the head as hard as you can? And Punk's turned around and gone, okay, kick. why are your teeth in the third row? You know, they were shots in here that I'm going, fuck me, I didn't even see Lesnar take this much of a beating in his MMA career.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, if this wasn't real, it was really well done.
Oh, yeah. Like, there were points, like, especially when we got near the end of the match, and by the way, somebody needs to teach Michael Cole the difference between an arm bar and a triangle hold.
that and an STF and yes,
yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Not sure that's a triangle hold. I'm pretty sure he's just trying to hug him.
But there were times, like, when we got into the submission holds near the end, I'm sitting there going, tap, Lesnar, you bitch! Tap like me has got an ankle lock on ya! Yeah, I got into this, man. And yeah. When, like, it takes a lot these days to get me to really just sort of throw all my experience and everything aside and just sort of fanboy for an entire match. And that's what this match did. It got me to fanboy.
So, There should be a chant. You marked out. You marked out. You marked out.
Oh, Matt, no, I never hear you marked out. I hear you tapped out quite a bit, but...
Well, yeah, but I was directing the you marked out to you.
Yeah,
you.
I know. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Like, yeah. This match got me to throw everything aside and just really guilty pleasure this thing up, and very well worth it. Definitely yep. Match of the night.
Very enjoyable indeed. Absolutely. Omega Looney Tunes. I'm not going to wait any longer. I want to hear it now.
Paul Heyman is Daffy Duck. He's got the attitude, the ego, and the mouth for it.
Oh, my God. I just pictured Paul Heyman as Daffy Duck. It fit.
He's Daffy Duck in the body of Elmer Fudd.
Which definitely make the rabbit season, duck season thing a whole lot more hilarious.
And that just brings out a really, really bad joke. Fudpucker. Anyway. Continue.
Yeah, watching his expression, I want to go back through it because the match was so good. I was paying way too much attention to the match and probably not enough attention to Paul. Because every time I did catch him, he's making the best body language that he can out of this.
I tell you, he's got the best faces for wrestling.
God. No, but there's this moment where, you know, he's trying to get involved with the match, and it distracts Punk long enough for Brock to get him up for the F5.
Yeah.
And he kind of shifts his weight back over to the ropes, back toward Paul. He's grabbing onto Paul, so Brock can't lay in the move. And at one point, Brock's got him, and Punk is holding on by Heyman's necktie, just trying holding on for dear life.
That was good.
That was quite enjoyable. That
day. It was good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little spots like that
Punk standing on the chair and Heyman sort of punching him in the foot and then punches him in the leg and just looks up and goes, I'm not doing any damage, am I?
No, that's just like slapping his kick pad.
That's like getting stomped by an ant. It's like
there's a lot of little spots in the match that I hadn't seen before. You know, like breaking the cover of the announcer's table over Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Or using the chair as a shield for Punk diving on Brock.
Yeah, well, that was something new.
It's a lot of little bits of new that I really appreciated.
Yeah. I'll tell
Punk's,
you that one.
Punk's face when Heyman tried to get in the ring, it was like all his Christmases came at once.
Oh, yes. No. It was good. The one spot though where Punk slid into the corner of the monitor embedded into the announce table looked a little nasty on Punk's back when it happened.
There was a lot of nasty in this match though.
All over, yeah. This is true. Yeah. Lindsay?
Yes.
Tell us what you think.
I really can't say anything that hasn't already been said. This was not a guilty pleasure. This was one of the other reasons I bought the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rare that a match completely lives up to its hype. That yep. when it happens, it's completely magic, and that's exactly what this match was. Punk, Lesnar, and Heyman walked out there. They put everything out there for us. Nothing was left on the table. Absolutely
nothing. This was awesome.
It was. It really was. We got a mix of wrestling. We got a mix of fighting. We got a mix of MMA. We got to see the versatility of both Punk and Lesnar in this match and see that really what they are capable of, which is something incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we get more in these series, because I would pay for more of these. This was just an amazing mix, an amazing match. Heyman was perfect between his facial expressions, between getting involved in the match, between the Looney Tunes moment, all of it. He was just spot on perfect. It was wonderful. It was extremely enjoyable. And this made the pay-per-view worth the $45 right here.
Or $54.95, depending on what country you're in.
Yeah, depending on what country you're in. But this made it worth it right yep. here.
No, absolutely. The thing was, it was just great. And, yeah, it was one of those matches that makes even me just sit back and cheer. Which I did for this. I was thoroughly, thoroughly spot on, 100% entertained, A-plus match right from the get-go. It is making me hungry for the next match between these two. And you know it's coming.
It definitely is coming. It all depends when. And I think a good time to do it may be when they get to October and they have a cell around them.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
It might just be a good time.
Yeah, there you go. So, like I said, looking forward to what's coming up and really enjoying this match.
When Punk finally got his hands on Heyman, he had him by the ears.
He grabbed him by both ears.
That was tremendous. It's like Heyman's screwed. He has him by the ears.
Uh-oh. But
he pulled him up by both ears and then locked his jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The only way to shut Heyman up.
Yeah. But, you know, Heyman provided enough of a distraction for Lesnar to grab that chair and just absolutely go to town on Punk's back, which led to that massive finishing move from Lesnar to finally get the three count on Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lesnar wins, by the way.
Yeah, Brock, I wouldn't call Lesnar wins. Lesnar survived.
Yeah. Hey, good night, Fast Eddie. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time you show up. Yeah, I guess that would be the best way to put it. He lost this match until Heyman interfered the last time.
Yeah, Heyman really saved him.
Yep. So... But yeah, thoroughly enjoyable. And of course, up next, right after that match, was the intergender tag. Dolph Ziggler and Caitlin teaming up to take on Big E and AJ. And some people were looking forward to this. Some people more looking forward to it than others. But I don't think anybody was too upset that this match was booked and took place.
The match was fine. They had the rough challenge of following that, but if anyone could, it could be Dolph. They had a fine match. They got all their spots in, and the Doritos winners, well, as Lindsay put it, well, they paid a lot of money to, and they won a contest to stare at AJ Lee's ass for a while.
There you go.
Basically, the guy took a splash from Mark Henry to get ringside seats, and they set the seats right in front of the announcer's table, which just happened to be where Big E and AJ's corner was. So the guy, there's four people sitting there, and so she's literally there, and they're just getting to stare at that particular part of her anatomy the entire time.
But not a bad prize.
No, but on the opposite end, they also got to stare at Big E's, well... behind, so...
Fuck you, Doritos.
There's some good and there's some bad.
Also, almost makes me wonder why Darren Young didn't enter the contest.
Because he can stir it enough as is?
Well, yeah, he can probably stir it his ass any old time he wants.
Tim. I haven't brought this in a while, so this comes back for you.
All right, fail trumpet. That just reminds me a little too much of a little show called OTL.
I hope that's not the first show it reminds you of.
Actually, yeah, it is.
That show should remind you of many other things, not just OTL. Anyway.
Well, it reminds me of CB Radio, but that's like in second place.
It should remind you of The Price is Right, because that's where it came from.
Right, but
my God.
If it reminds you of CB Radio, check it out. Midnight is right here, Saturday nights.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, Ziggler and Caitlin get the win. Incredible spear by Caitlin on AJ outside the ring right before the finish of the match.
Somewhere a baby's crying and we lost another hero, and yeah. Damn that Caitlin for spearing AJ.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I can't remember exactly what the phrase is, but that's the basic gist of it.
So, yeah, so the match, you know, it cooled the crowd enough without really pissing anybody off. It cooled them down enough for the main event.
Before we get there, I wouldn't be surprised we see this mixed tag tomorrow on Raw.
Just as a, you know, thing to do.
A SummerSlam rematch.
Yeah, it's not like they ever do stuff like that. No. So that'll be a novel idea.
I know. It's a WTR exclusive.
Yeah, there you are. So... Yeah, so here it is. Daniel Bryan facing off against John Cena for the WWE title.
So I guess the rest of us don't get to give our opinions on this match?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had we were done, but do you have an opinion?
Come on, do the
other than,
spot.
You know, AJ not being able to have the Shield's babies because Caitlyn keeps spearing her. I felt bad for them because they had to follow Lesnar and Punk.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it was fine.
So that's all we need to say about it? We can move on now?
Yes, we can move on now.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure. Main event time, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Bryan challenging John Cena for the WWE title.
Hold on. Come on, what? Do it right. Be the ring announcer. Get into the main event. Come on.
Oh, come on. No.
Yes.
No. Yes. That was last night, not tonight. No.
Come on, Tim.
No.
Come
on. No. No. It was a good match. It was a good match.
This was a really good match, and Mace, we almost lost a Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. John Cena, you sloppy bastard.
Don't bend your knees so much when you jump off that side, that first rope.
No. When you go to try and hook in the Styles Clash, because that's what you were going to do, you got to make sure that your balance and your opponent's balance is really well in sync, especially if you're doing it from the second rope.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank God that Brian decided to pull his head up before it went through the canvas.
Or
yeah,
backwards.
You're not supposed to land on your feet for the Styles Clash, Cena. You're supposed to fall forward.
That wasn't one of his five moves of doom that were detailed on WWE.
There's a reason why Cena only has five moves of doom.
Yeah, they were all
detailed. They're the only ones he can do without killing somebody.
All right, they were all detailed, Lindsay, on WWE.com.
And two got repeated.
Shoulder block and shoulder block.
Yeah. So it's actually only four moves of doom? He gets double credit for a shoulder block?
Shoulder block, then you get back up, and then you take a harder shoulder block.
Oh, it's harder shoulder block.
It's at least one shoulder block.
Yeah. Right.
Well, all in all, it was a good match, and Daniel Bryan came out on top. John Cena, ever the sportsman, congratulated him before he left the ring. And the pay-per-view's over.
Yay!
Wait! No! I hear voices in my head.
Tim, that's just the medicine talking.
No, fine. That's the music that played right after the, you know, it's Daniel Bryan won and he's celebrating and shit.
You're hallucinating. None of that actually happened.
Randy Orton came up. Randy Orton came out.
I saw streamers and fireworks and handshakes.
And then Randy Orton came up.
No, I don't. Lindsay, are you back me up? There was nothing else. It was Daniel Bryan won.
Randy Orton came out.
Ha ha!
I thought Darren Young came out.
No, that was on Tuesday. Wait a minute! He can point out that Darren Young's gay, but I can't? What the fuck?
He was creative.
He Racist made it funny. Bastard.
I made a good reference. You just made a gay joke.
Racist bastards.
How is he racist? We're not being racist against you. It's not our fault you can't tell a good joke.
I'm Canadian. You're against me. You're racist.
Doesn't work that way, Tim. Sorry.
You bastards, I fart in your general direction. Anyway, yeah, Randy Orton comes out, and I'm figuring, okay, no. Some people are saying, oh, like he's going to cash in. I'm saying, no fucking way. It's just the D's. They're just setting stuff up. Triple H, what the hell are you doing? Trips, what's up? No, not the pedigree.
Yeah, the pedigree. He hit the pedigree, and the crowd went, oh, no. And then you hear Randy Orton just look, you see him turn back and just walk into the ring, slowly hand the briefcase, and, well, that joyful moment we all had came crashing down.
Screeching halt.
3 fucking minutes. That's all we got was 3 minutes.
I did say halfway through the match, why do I get the feeling Triple H is up to something?
I told you it was logical.
Yep. But you said logical, and it was a WWE thing, so I kind of sort of blew it off.
Well, in this case, it was correct.
God damn it.
You know what? I'd be pissed about the whole thing if it wasn't for the fact that every single person sitting in this conversation right now didn't predict this shit. Like, 2-3 weeks ago.
I said it. Yeah. This was for, you know, the moment we all, everyone got the moment, Lindsay. They did the moment the right way, though.
They totally did the moment the right way, and then they made the internet explode twice in 5 minutes.
And even that was well done.
And it even blew that up. Was well done.
It blew like, right
I,
up.
I would almost be tempted to go back on Twitter and see exactly what was said. Because I'm sure it would to, yay, to, what the hell?
It's like, internet rejoice, where are the streamers? Because that's what people were complaining about, where are the streamers? And then there were streamers coming from the rafters, and then, oh no, it's Randy Orton.
But this was... This match and the swerve that they did was brilliant. The whole thing was just brilliant. Cena and Bryan have excellent chemistry together. They work well together, aside from the little minor issues, you know, where Cena almost took Bryan's head off.
Decapitated Bryan, yeah.
Yeah. Aside from that minor problem, this was, again, everything you expected it to be and more. And we got to see the potential of Daniel Bryan. We got to see the potential of John Cena. We actually got to see John Cena be challenged and work in a way that he hasn't had to work in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Which was incredible to see. And again, this made paying for the pay-per-view worth it. Because now it's, yay, you get that wonderful moment of Daniel Bryan winning the title. The internet rejoices. We all rejoice. Yay, he did it. And then out comes Randy Orton. And it's like, okay, they're going to do the tease. They're going to do the tease. Triple H grabs him. Pedigrees him. It's like, wait, did that just happen? And then the cash in, and Orton's got the title. And then when that happened, I'm just standing here, and I'm like, crap, now I got to watch Raw.
They've got.
No, I actually.
Go ahead.
I have to watch it anyway because they do the post show, but it's like now I have to pay attention to Raw.
Because they got you. I don't know about you, Omega, but when Triple H does the whole yes pose, it seems a little awkward.
Yeah. I don't think he quite gets it.
And it was a little fishy that he was doing it and all celebratory, and well, now we know why.
Yeah. You know, Randy, the last time Triple H let you win a world title, it didn't go well. Just saying.
No, it didn't.
No, this is kind of what I was hoping for, because if we get, like, Randy Orton, like, the corporate Uber heel now, I think this will do good, because we've been saying for a while Orton is stale. You know, if this gives him something new, if he can actually like come out and almost retro evolution, business suit, title over the shoulder. You know, he's the boss's champion now. It could be a nice direction for him.
Well, here's something to bring up. The speculation on a potential Evolution 2.0.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh.
Is it Evolution 2.0 or is it Corporation 2.0?
Corporate Evolution.
It's a mystery. And also, where does Vince McMahon play into all this?
Where does Stephanie play?
That is a damn good question.
Oh, Stephanie's been a bitch for a while.
Yeah, since 2000.
Stephanie's going to play the person who's torn between her husband and her father. Eventually, because we all know Stephanie doesn't like playing, a nice person on television for too long. She'll side with her father in the end, only to betray him at the last minute and say it was a setup for the husband all along. Did I just spoil WrestleMania for everybody?
No, but why would she have to, play right currently? Why would she? Why would Vince?
Because it's the same shit she's always done.
But why would Vince be mad?
Leopard does not change spots, Rock.
No, but why would Vince be mad?
And does not change mine.
Can I get my point out?
No.
Why would Vince be angry at Randy Orton be champion when he didn't want neither Cena or Bryan?
He's not going to be. This is the thing. It's going to be this whole thing where Vince going to be like, I knew you had it in you, son. You had it in you all along. And Triple H is going to be like, fuck you, Vince. I'm still going to do what I want. They're going to find a way to split the two apart.
It's either going to be I was wrong about you, Brian, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Or it's...
Come back, Cena. We love you.
No.
What it is, it's going to be going over Vince's head and putting his own champion in place without telling him. You know, it's going to be the power grab that splits the two apart rather than what he decided to do with the championship.
Yeah.
Because technically he did the right thing. He called the match right down the middle. And Dan O'Brien beat Cena fair and square. And then after all that happened, that's when Brian got screwed. So
he called two matches right down the middle. It's what happened in between that was a little fishy.
which technically, because it didn't happen during the official match, there's no issue with it.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was his off time.
Yeah. This whole ending thing is just like, as I said before, I'd be pissed off if we didn't see this coming. It was like, okay, it's good. They did a really good match. Glad they had it. And here's the finish. Here's the betrayal. Here's the cash-in. Move along. What's on Raw?
The beginning of the Orton era, part 2.
Yeah, I so look forward to Orton versus Cena 856 times.
We'll get Orton versus Bryan first.
It's going to be Orton versus Bryan.
No, we'll get Orton versus Bryan versus Cena.
No, we're not.
Then we'll get Cena versus Bryan one more time, and then we'll get Cena versus Orton 18 for the next 18 months.
I would look at Cena's arm. He's going away from it.
Yeah, it depends on how long it takes him to recover from surgery.
You've got to remember, this is Cena. This is a guy who went out with a neck injury. They said he was going to be out 12 months. He was gone 4.
Yeah, but tells me
this is an elbow injury. This is probably Cena going, oh, yeah, 2 weeks, I'll be fine.
Yeah. He's going to stick some Robitussin and he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Robitussin for an elbow.
But at the same time, he may want to take some time off. He may want to step away for a little bit. I mean, he's been complaining. He's beat to hell.
And now he has a stay-at-home nurse who can take care of him.
Pretty much, yeah.
Except she won't be staying at home. She'll be on the road, remember?
Oh, that one day.
You know, they could just do a green screen and technically duplicate Nikki. They've got Bree.
They could just superimpose...
The hilarious part would be Layla walking down the ring with a full body mirror just beside Bree the whole time.
Anyway, overall thoughts on this show.
Except for one issue of gimmick infringement, I give this damn thing a B+.
I'd say this was, as I said in the beginning of the show, I wasn't overwhelmed, I wasn't underwhelmed, I was just whelmed.
Mm-hmm.
This, outside of the Punk Brock match, this was just going through the motions. But they were good motions. So this one, I give it a B.
Okay. Lindsay!
I'm going to give it an A. I enjoyed the hell out of this show.
There you go.
And I was thoroughly entertained, moved very well. There weren't a lot of dead spots. The matches were enjoyable, worth the money. I'm going to give it an A. Well done to WWE on this one.
Okay, well, there you go. And A, Omega.
I would put an A- on this one.
Okay.
Because it... The matches that weren't great, aside from the Ring of Fire match, I thought should have been way better. None of the matches really offended me. Even if they weren't, like, enormously great matches, you know, I really didn't have any major issue with them. And the matches that were good were phenomenal.
Phenomenally good. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So there it is. SummerSlam was really, really good this time around. Don't know what else to say about it, kids.
Let's talk about Pick'em, Tim.
That is the next thing we do have to address. For those of you who are listening tonight for the first time, don't know what Pick'em is, I'll tell you real quick. Starting the week before any TNA or WWE pay-per-view, we gather here Sunday nights and play this little thing called Pick'em. We don't ask for any details or anything like that. We just tell you, look, guys, tell us who you think's going to win this match, that match, that match, that match. If you win, sometimes all you get are bragging rights for until the next pay-per-view. Other times, we give you a prize. Well, this is one of those times where we, you lucky dogs, get bragging rights. That's so awesome.
We're giving them a pay-per-view?
No, I don't mean that. Not that bragging. Not those bragging rights.
We're giving them bragging rights, the home edition.
Yes.
So the DVD.
Yes.
Kind of.
An imaginary DVD. Use your
imaginary DVD.
Imaginary.
Yeah, imaginary. Yes.
Did you learn English from Ethan?
I learned English from Canada.
Canada? I don't know where that is. Anyway, yeah, so here it is. We're going to let you know who won Pick'em.
It's America's hat, Tim.
You are the people under the stairs. Shut up.
You are the loft apartment over a great party.
Yeah, you are a resident of a state shaped like a flaccid penis. You're one to talk.
Yes, but the penis is pissing on Cuba, so it's okay.
Just don't hit the cigars, man. We can smoke them up here.
Just curious, is it RVDs or Christians?
Well, if it was Christians, some birthday person in the chat room would be very excited.
Somebody in the chat room's having a birthday?
Well, their birthday was yesterday, and they really love Christian.
Who had a birthday yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Who?
Who?
You know, the number one Christian fan who likes his Wong. You know, King Kittens.
Oh! King Kittens! King Kittens likes the Wong. I forgot about that.
Then you definitely don't hear us play cards. Anyway.
Not all the time.
We don't like
just remember, King Kittens, if we don't give you crap, that means we don't like you.
Yeah, they use that excuse on me all the time. I don't believe them either. Anyway, here it is. The winner for Pick'em, drum roll please, King Vincent. Somebody named Vincent who tweets rock all the time.
Vincent Melendez on the Twitters.
Yes, so congratulations. You went an unbelievable, amazing, perfect 7-0.
He would have went 8-0 if he got his one pick in on time.
Didn't need it, damn it. 7-0 is good enough.
He didn't need it, but he would have went 8-0.
Yeah, Rock and Amy tied in second place with 6-2. Ben was 6-1. Subway, this blows me away. That stoner pothead was 5-3. Tied in fifth place with Josh, Jessica, Lindsay, shame on you, and Sean Palmer. Brent was in 10th place. Mace, you were in 11th place. Rounding up in 12th was Omega, Rob, Michael, Ty, and me.
And who? You were? I thought you were like 13th.
Well, it just
or
says
14th or 15th, whatever the number is.
It just says 12. I'm going with that. Yeah, no, I see it. I'm just going with that, though.
No, technically you would be 15th.
Technically, yeah, but I'm just going with it. It says it doesn't matter. I didn't win, so shut up.
Tim went an astounding 3-5. Mace, for being in 11th, went 5-1.
Yeah, there you go. So congratulations, Vincent. You get bragging rights. And once again, everybody, we start Pick'em the week before every pay-per-view. So come to, if you don't come for any other reason, come to the site the Sunday, the week before whatever pay-per-view is playing, and get involved. Who knows? That might be the week we give away a prize, usually from memlanepromo.com.
Yes, and you never know. We might have something for Vincent in the coming days. Just never know.
There we go.
Weren't we using
money in the bank with this as a tiebreaker?
For something, and I think Jersey Girl won that tiebreaker too. So, congratulations.
Okay, yeah. So, basically, technically, that means Jersey Girl beat you.
I wasn't involved in the tiebreaker. We're doing the fan tiebreaker.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
She was tied with Tommy and King Kent.
Okay. Fair enough. That explains it.
Right. So Vincent was number one tonight. Who was number one last night, Tim?
Who was number one last night? Well, the actual real Fear of the Beard, and the son of a bitch should like trademark it before WWE starts printing shirts. Andrew Hawks won the Bunkhouse Battle Royal.
By the way, Tim, too late.
They didn't. Daniel, they had Respect the Beard or whatever.
His is Respect the Beard.
It wouldn't surprise me if they've got a trademark somewhere just in case.
Yeah,
because Hawks has had that for over, like before Daniel Bryan started growing his beard.
Yeah, but people would actually, outside of Calgary, would need to know who Andrew Hawks is.
Not just Calgary. Old Alberta, motherfucker.
Okay, outside of Alberta.
And Saskatchewan.
And Saskatchewan.
And parts
outside of Canada.
And Jamaica.
And in Manitoba, too.
And, all anywhere. But,
yeah,
so.
And parts of Washington, and.
Right. So Andrew Hawks is now the number one contender for whose title belt?
Yeah, Johnny Hotshot, I'm sorry, Dungeon Master.
You gotta get it right, Tim, or he will take you back to that dungeon and,
he can't because it's like a museum now, and it's a historical.
His personal dungeon with the whips and the chains because of the looks. Anyway.
You're just really strange, and I don't need to hear about your sick and twisted fantasies, so just shut up.
He's just going to throw 20-sided dice at you.
Because he's a wizard, after all. Yeah, so, Hot Shot Johnny Devine, as you all know him, is my Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Commonwealth Champion. And, well, he needed a new number one contender because Kamikaze basically lost a shot after losing last month. However, despite the fact he's the number one contender, Johnny Devine came out last night, grabbed the mic out of my hands, and demanded to have Kamikaze in a steel cage match at the next show. Because he wants to get even for the whipping he took with that leather strap.
yes, Lindsay.
Okay.
So when's this next event?
It's in September. September 20-something. I can't bring it out of...
September 21st?
Something sometime around there. It's a Saturday, yeah. So all you got to do is go to www.canadianallpro.com.
Love that the promoter doesn't know the date of his own show.
Don't even start with me on that one, okay? Because there are things brewing that I can't talk about at the moment, and things are going back and forth, and you know better.
Yeah, I know better, but it doesn't
stop
me.
So don't do that, especially now.
It doesn't stop me. But get tickets now. Can they get tickets now for the next show at canadianallpro.com?
Oh, the tickets are available as early as next week. You can actually even buy them online. That was very successful.
So there you go. Get them at CanadianAllPro.com starting this coming week.
Yeah, man. Just check out the website and check me out on Facebook to get, you know, and stay updated.
Well, technically, they could buy the tickets. It's just, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, if you buy them online, you can get them on any time.
Exactly. They don't have to actually be printed to... You know, be bought. Anyway, visit CanadianAllPro.com tomorrow, Tim, for full results.
Absolutely. There you go. And thank you very much.
So now time, Tim. Great debate.
I think we have something to, as they say in the business, we've got a blow-off match. A
couple of them.
Yeah, there we go.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the host as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the man, the Stone Cold Sexy.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Don't.
We're going to settle this once and for all. Who is the greatest WWE champion of all time? We are going to go through three matches. The first two will create the final. Up first, Bruno Sammartino takes on the Rated R Superstar Edge, Lindsay.
Oh, Jesus. I know Bruno is the... longest reigning. I know his career is legendary, but I have to go with the career that I've seen, and I haven't seen anything with Bruno outside of what was in the Hall of Fame really stuff. So I'm gonna go with Edge. I'm sorry. I have to go with the one I've seen.
Mace.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Edge. It's more entertainment factor. While Bruno is one of the quintessential champions, all his stuff was in the ring, and it was also during a time where it was all 100% in-ring stuff. There wasn't overly, like, charisma, character development, all that type of stuff didn't exist during his time. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Edge. Just more entertaining overall.
Are we going to get an upset, Omega?
I'm actually going Bruno. Edge is a very entertaining champion, but there's nothing historic about any of his title runs. He held the belt a lot.
He caused Lita's boob to be exposed on Raw Live. That was kind of historic, wasn't it?
You have an odd sense of history, Tim.
It was a very highly rated segment. So.
Yes, it's also the closest anyone's come to catching herpes by visual contact.
You see, Rock, I set him up.
Bravo, Tim. Bravo.
See, he can't come up with his own jokes, so he has to set him
Fuck
up.
Fuck off!
Herpes.
Yeah, I like that.
Herpes.
Just
again,
whatever.
Stealing other people's material. Anyway.
There really isn't an accolade I could put up against what Bruno has done. You know, this wasn't in an age where, you know, championships were passed around with little to no meaning. This was, you're the champion, you're the guy who's going to sell out everything, so we're going to keep the belt on you for this long. And there's a reason he held it that long, because he did sell out everything.
Mainly to Italians.
Go back to setting me up, Tim.
I'm just saying. That wasn't a joke.
So, yeah, Bruno.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, you know, Edge is this, that, and the other thing, and he's all exciting, and woohoo, yay, Edge. I like Adam Copeland. I like him a lot. He's a great guy. But for historical significance and for all intents and purposes, Bruno Sammartino did something that no superstar for the rest of the existence of professional wrestling will ever do again. How long did he hold the title for? Yeah, I get it. Different eras, different times, yada, yada, yada. Still, for that era, the title holding of CM Punk was nothing compared to Bruno Sammartino. And as Omega said, there's a reason that they kept the belt on him as long as they did, not once, but twice. Bruno gets my vote.
All right, chat room, it's up to you. Edge or Bruno, vote now. Got one for Edge. Okay, he's changing his mind. Bruno.
somebody swayed his opinion, his vote. There you go.
And we got one for Edge.
Okay, so there's a tie.
Got a tie, come on.
Damn you, Josh.
Anyone else? Got Edge from
Ethan, you're fired.
We got Edge from the Canadian Opera Wrestling Timekeeper. We got Edge from Tommy.
Oh, you guys are just like
you nuts. Sheep.
You are exactly what he said.
Oh, King Kins is actually
Kins, you're a fag. You might as well come out just like Darren Young did.
Oh my God, Tim!
I'm just kidding.
You're not allowed to mention Derek Young anymore.
Derek Young.
Eric Young. He said Derek Young.
Yeah, I know.
Pick on him, damn it!
He fucked up.
Anyway.
No, I'm not a homophobe. I'm just kidding around. I don't care.
Oh.
I don't care if you're gay, straight, or you like sucking on lollipops, okay? Doesn't matter to me. If you're an idiot, you're an idiot. Starscream Josh, Kane Kittens, Ethan. And you're only idiots because you just
look
me Omega.
Yeah, look, Edge is one, let's move on.
I can't believe he's complaining that the Canadian won.
I know, right? up next, Triple H, Hulk Hogan, go, Omega.
Hogan.
Why?
Because we wouldn't have a wrestling business without him.
Lindsay.
crap. I don't want to vote for Hogan, but I have to.
No, you don't have to vote for him. You can vote Triple H. It is your right.
I know it's my right.
Yeah, you have every right to be just as wrong as everybody else who doesn't vote properly.
Suck it up, Lindsay. Take the pain and learn to like it.
Oh, I've taken enough from pain from you and learned to like it.
Oh. Call TMZ, quick!
I have to agree with Omega. The business wouldn't be where it is without Hogan. he has such a definitive role in it. What he's done since then can't really tarnish or destroy what he's meant overall to the business. Hunter has helped to redefine an era. He's helped to move a company forward, and I think he is where Hogan was. And maybe 20 years down the line, he might be looked at as Hogan is now. But Hunter does, you know, for everything Hunter has done, he just doesn't have the credentials that stack up to what Hogan has done.
Hogan does not have more hair than me, King Kittens, you prick.
So you mean you have less hair than Hulk Hogan?
Are you dense?
Well, it is very long on the sides.
I just said Hulk Hogan does not have more hair than me. I still have hair on the top of my head, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, but Hogan has really long hair on the sides. So
no,
you know, that
those,
kind of
please, those are extensions.
So
you doesn't
need...
matter, it's still hair on his head. You didn't qualify whether it was natural or not.
It has to be real or it doesn't count.
It could be real. He's got the
it's
money.
Not
he
real.
Can buy real hair.
No. Real natural, his own. No, forget it. No! You're just rationalizing, and I will not accept that.
Well, fine. Give her
no.
Everyone
no,
a vote.
Who has... All right, next debate. Who has more
he's
hair?
He's got more hair. Fuck off. Move on.
Not Rock. The debates take long enough.
Mace.
Who has more hair? Triple H, Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker,
or
Tim Stein.
Next week on The Great Debate.
Daniel Bryan's
God,
face.
Damian Sandow's face. Bray Wyatt's face.
Yeah, the Wyatt family's faces.
Now that Phoenix. Doesn't count.
Dude, that should be our next debate. Greatest beard in wrestling.
Daniel Bryan, debate over.
Not Eric Young.
I was going to put in a Macho Man vote.
Anyway, Mace, you're up.
Hogan, because brother, 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 brother.
And Tim, your opinion
Hogan.
Is what? Hogan? All right, so who is the greatest WWE champion of all time? Hulk Hogan or the rated R superstar Edge? Lindsay.
Hogan for previous reasons. Sorry, Edge.
Omega.
Hogan was the guy who inspired Edge in the first place, thus we would not have Edge without Hogan. Done.
Mace.
Brother, 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 brother.
Tim.
The father of the unemployed Brooke.
We'll play it. So, in our opinion, Hulk Hogan is now the greatest WWE champion of all time.
Grumble, grumble, grumble. Grumble, grumble.
You guys picked him.
Grumble, grumble.
So you can't grumble.
We can begrudgingly say that we begrudgingly did it. Begrudgingly.
You could have picked Triple H. Could have had Triple H Edge.
Do you want us to be, like, you know, grumbly and honest, or do you want us to be, like, you know, some other Sunday night podcast?
Really?
I'm going to get some emails off of that one.
They would have to know we exist, and apparently, according to them, we don't. So, anyway, we move along. It's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Lindsay, start with you. Would you rather always have great first dibs or a last laugh?
First dibs.
Why?
Last laughs can take too long, and they're not nearly as satisfying as you think they are.
Okay. Mace, would you rather spend the rest of your life in prison or as a slave?
What?
Hey, he lives in Australia.
Yeah, technically he is living in a prison.
And he's a slave to the system.
You know what? I'd rather be a slave, because he even as like slave labor these days, at least you get paid.
Well, there you go, Tim. Would you?
And I ain't nobody's bitch.
Tim, would you?
No.
Would you rather be on the FBI's terrorist suspect list or on your local police sex offender list?
Well, that's kind of harsh. Holy cow. Of course, with like sex offender laws nowadays, all I'd have to do is walk down the street saying, she was a bitch. And some bitch is going to say, I'm sexually offended because you called a woman a bitch. You know, that's like vague and generic. Holy cow.
And then you can't show up at local Florida indie wrestling shows.
Yeah.
What?
What happened to the local Florida indie wrestling show?
Nothing.
Something, otherwise you wouldn't have brought it up.
Took a shot.
Alan.
I took a shot to move
on. Alan.
Exactly.
Move on. Pay attention to what I'm saying before you walk all over me.
Anyway, continue.
But being a sex offender would be a horrible thing. I was accused of that once by a girl who she did not qualify for a plan for a cell phone back when I was an independent dealer for cell phones. So she accused me of sexual impropriety. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, that is potentially enough to absolutely ruin your life in ways you cannot imagine, that being a suspected terrorist has got nothing on.
So
I'm very offended by this fucking question on a personal level because of, experience.
Tim, just pick one.
You're a prick. I'll be, the FBI's most wanted.
Okay, Tim. Make sure Tim, just don't scratch my car later, please.
Oh, I'm going to scratch the fuck out of your car as soon as you, get one.
Just don't scratch my door, Tim.
Did you hear what I said?
I know. Just don't scratch my
door. I didn't scratch that bitch's door to begin with. Shut up.
Omega, if you could have a celebrity's hairstyle, who would you pick and why?
This would require knowing celebrities.
Oh, yeah. That's out of your purview, Ari.
Well, like, literally, I don't pay attention to celebrities. You know, I give a fuck what they look like. It's like, hey, does Robert Downey Jr. look like Iron Man right now? No, I don't fucking care.
You could say Tony Stark. Close enough.
No, see, I have to relate it in celebrities I know, so it's like
you know Robert Downey Jr.?
No.
You could go for Thor. He's got nice long hair.
But when Chris Hemsworth played George Kirk, he had short hair. See how it confuses Omega?
I don't think it confuses him, for the record.
No, I have to relate in celebrities I know, and they're all voice actors. Which is ironic that I know what voice actors look like, considering you never fucking see them.
Exactly.
But I don't know actual celebrities.
Yeah, you're freaky weird that way.
So in your weird world...
Yeah, I got to meet a voice actor named Crispin Freeman. Who is just like... I wish I had this guy's brain, because he thinks in layers and depths I couldn't fathom.
We're not talking about brains, we're talking about hair.
I know. I'm talking about what grows above the brain. And I don't know what he does to it, but it's like, he lives in L.A. and it's like the L.A. hair, like dead on. Like you'd think, like, that's hip L.A. hair thing. And
I don't know how the
Scott
fuck
McNeil. That way you don't really have to change anything. Just I know.
I was
head.
Expecting that, really. I was waiting for that.
Well, here's the thing. The question was, whose hair do I wish I had? Well, I've already got Scott's, so,
okay.
Can't really
there
wish for it.
There you go. All right, Lindsay, would you rather swim with the sharks, or would you rather skydive?
Swim She's going
sharks.
After a briefcase.
That's a pussy question.
Swim with sharks.
There you go. Mace, if you could apply one of these two video game powers to your life, would you rather be God mode, making you completely indestructible, or the ability to quick save, quick load, but you can still die with no return?
Big head mode. Big head mode.
Yeah, I'd have to go God mode, only because if I go God mode, then that technically is like having administrative privileges to which I can open up other modes, so then I can get big head mode.
Well, there you go.
And instead of we having guns that shoot bullets, paintball mode on every gun.
Yes.
Okay, Tim, would you rather share your apartment with a hoarder, or a whore who doesn't sleep with you?
A what?
A hoarder or a whore who doesn't sleep with you.
A hoarder or a whore that doesn't sleep with me.
Well, obviously he's going to go to the hoarder because he's already left his ex-wife.
Oh!
Burn!
No, it wasn't a burn. You've obviously never been married to a bitch.
But she knew a thundercunt.
Yes, because
well, that's kind of similar, but not quite. Similar, but not the same enough. So yeah, that wasn't exactly a burn against me. It was a burn against the ex.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a burn against the ex.
Wow, you said burn, and you know normally it's like, Tim got burned.
Fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tim, hoarder or a whore?
Oh fuck. What's the hoarder hoard? How much hoarding would the hoarder hoard if the hoard could hoard hoarding?
All the coupons in the world.
Oh, fuck. No, you can't move in, Scott.
Who are you talking to? Anyway.
A coupon hoarder, but they have so much stuff and it's cheap. They'd be the ideal roommate for Tim.
I was going to say, coupons are paper, so you could just, you know, like, smash them down. Plus, they would keep you warm in the winter. Your heating bill would go down, you know, just wouldn't even exist because you just burn all the coupons.
And my fucking heating bill doesn't exist anyway. It's all built into the rent automatically, and I don't pay more or less with any fluctuation. So that's kind of a
anyway,
moot.
Anyway, so Tim, hoarder or whore?
This is a really difficult question because I absolutely refuse to have a fucking roommate. I totally, completely refuse to have a roommate. I don't give a goddamn what goes on. It just won't ever fucking happen. Unless it's the four-legged furry kind.
Oh my god, would you just quit being a pain and just answer
the question?
Well,
hypothetical.
Hold on. You want the one with the four-letter furry kind? Well, they make costumes and you can turn one of them into a furry.
No. No, you cannot do that. It's not allowed.
Well, if that's what you
No!
Mean. And they could hoard...
No,
you know,
no. You're not allowed to work that hard to pick on me. It's just no. Because that's reaching. And I'm sorry, it's the poor cousin of sarcasm or something like that. But no!
You open
it! Anyway, shut up so I can answer! I would have to probably say a hoarder, because even if the whore doesn't sleep with me, which is good, I wouldn't want to sleep with a whore because you never know what they might carry. They'd be using the toilet, and that just, you know, you never know what grows on a toilet seat.
Yeah, but the hoarder's always buying shit. The whore, you know, is going to make the rent.
I could at least throw shit out.
And they'll just keep bringing it back in.
They get the cash converters, get the money for it, and there you go.
Omega, finally, would you rather sing every word you speak or always talk in rhymes?
Talk in rhyme.
Why?
Because I could make money off of that.
Only if you were good and sounded all right. You know, unlike Ice-T.
You heard his Raven piece?
Quote the Omega Nevermore.
That's original.
Anyway, that's Quick Hits, Tim.
And that's the end of our show. For those of you who decided to stick around even after the SummerSlam review, thank you very much for doing so. We hope that you all come and join us each and every single day that we have programming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, starting tomorrow night with the post-Raw show.
Three hours
of Raw broken down into maybe 45 minutes for your listening pleasure.
Yes, join myself and Lindsay Ward at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the Raw post-show. We break down everything you need to know about Monday Night Raw.
And then, you know, if you want to know all there is to know about the best indie wrestling in Florida, you want to tune in Tuesday nights to KFAB Radio.
K-Fabe.
I'm sorry, KFABE Wrestling Radio.
KFABE, yes, don't confuse a good word. Anyway, he'll be on the program. You will hear from Zach Gowen and Taylor Hendricks. Tune in 9 p.m. Eastern for KFABE Wrestling Radio.
And, of course, your host is Alan Wookie Dick. Wednesday nights are open, so, you know, like, go swimming or something. Thursday, it's another edition of the award-winning The Rock Radio Show.
That's right. Tune in for our Impact Recap. We're going to be talking a little bit about SummerSlam. We have discussions. We have news. We have all sorts of fun stuff. Tune in, listen. And also, tune in for The Rock Radio Show Extra, which is Total Divas, where we give you the full in-depth recap of the show, especially each week. Or I should say, we do it every week, and we watch it while we record. So you get our funny, insightful comments as we watch it. And let's see if Rock and I can actually watch it for the first time while we're recording.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. So we may do that this week since we were both watching SummerSlam tonight and the show was on.
Yeah. So
you actually have a lot of things on the Rack.
Yes, the Rack is very big at rockradioshow.com.
That's impressive. Do you have red velvet cupcakes with cream cheese filling?
Not at the moment that I can bake.
Well, then you don't have everything. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, another edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the wild, the prank phone calls, the confessions of a drunk, stoned person.
Or
all of this and more.
Or listening very intently as not one, not two, but three people at the same time smoke a joint.
Yeah, I've been in a room with people smoking a joint. There's not a lot to listen to, but whatever.
That's CB Radio in a nutshell, but it's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. Join myself, Red Park, Subway, and Ace as we do it all Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Absolutely, and if you want to get a full dose of what Wrestle Talk Radio is normally like when there's not a pay-per-view on, check us out next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com slash Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward, at The Mace Thing, at TJ Mayer, at Canadian All Pro.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out www.canadianallpro.com. All you need to find out about Canadian All Pro Wrestling right here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, will be on that site all the time. So there. We're done. Go away.
That's a terrible exit.
I know. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. We're glad that you showed up for the first time, and the repeats, and the ones who have showed up for the first time in a long time, repeatedly. And we look forward to your continued patronage to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, go and click the Google ads on the website, and I'll say thanks. Good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.